Welcome to Halacha in a Year, where we can get to learn all the most relevant halacha through the prism of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. You are listening to Rabbi Yaakov Tram. This shiur is kindly sponsored by the Moshe Group, NCA, in Zuchus of Rivka Bela, Bas Nechama Shifra, and in honor of Rabbi Tram. Today we're going to be looking at the halachas of bedikas and bittul chametz, that is checking for the chametz and annulling it. Just a little bit of background in this topic. The Torah prohibits us having chametz in our possession over Pesach. And this, in order to do this, we try to do two things. Number one is we check for chametz, that's called bedikas chametz, and we annul the chametz, that's called bittul chametz. Why do we need both? So they're both necessary because if I just get rid of and check for my chametz, I'm probably going to miss something. There'll be a piece of cereal that's under my kid's car that I didn't know about. And if I just doing it based on what I see and what I can find and what I can get rid of, there is a concern that I'm not going to get rid of all of it. So I do bittul as well. I do a nullification as well. But if I only had to do nullification, then what I'd do is I just wouldn't take it so seriously. So I would just say, oh, I null everything in my house and I won't check for anything. And then it becomes lip service because you aren't really getting rid of it. So therefore, you need to get rid of things and check for it. That's the bedikas chametz. And then you need to bittul all the things that you couldn't find, couldn't see after having done that check. Let's jump straight in over here and understand the idea of bedikas chametz. Our first concept we're going to look at is the idea of when and where we do bedikas chametz. It's worthwhile understanding that the chametz check, which is done on the night of the 14th of Nisan, which is the night before Pesach, is really the capstone audit of cleaning and removing up till now, meaning it is not plausible to do a bedikas chametz as the first check for chametz in one's house unless one is living in a one-bedroom or a studio or that there's nothing else there, no furniture. But it is not possible to do bedikas chametz and that be the beginning of it. It's clearly the end of all the cleaning, meaning one is cleaned, one has checked, one has made sure, and this is now the final audit. This is making sure there's nothing else left. That's the capstone. So when is it done? It's done at the beginning of the night when the stars come out. And so depending on the area, in Israel, 20, 25 minutes after sunset. In Northeast America, we talk about 50 minutes after, 40 to 50 minutes after sunset, and that would be the time to that's appropriate. What is the triage of activities? So one is not allowed to eat or get busy with work before doing bedikas chametz. It's the first thing one must do. And if one cannot even do this 30 minutes before Tzeisah Kochavim, before the stars come out, in order to one is in the mode and will not get distracted from doing the bedikas chametz. What do we use to check? So the what is recommended, this is based from the times of the Mishnah, is using a single candle. One's not allowed to use a torch of many flames like a $5 candle because that flickers and does not give us clear light to be able to check. Most basic question is this the most efficient way to do bedikas chametz today? And the answer is not really. The reason why it was done at night is because during the day, when there's no electricity and one's walking through one's house, there are shady areas and there are hidden areas and holes and cracks that one cannot really examine, and a candle doesn't really help during the daytime. But at nighttime, then the candle is actually very helpful. So the check was done at night where the candle can be most helpful and one can really examine the areas that one would not regularly see otherwise. However, today, just to understand, a flashlight is much more effective than a candle. And many poskim say a flashlight should be used. Some try to keep the candle as well because of the tradition of using candles from the times of the Mishnah as well. It should be noted that Rav Ida quotes Rav Moshe Feinstein, who points out that it would be appropriate to keep the lights on, meaning if you want to do a bedikas chametz, you want to make sure everything is where it is. We're not in the times where nighttime is all dark. We're in the times of nighttime where it's very easy to be able to see. So leave the lights on and use a candle and or a flashlight to be able to look in under the beds and behind the bookshelves. But keep the lights on because then you're actually doing a much more effective bedikah as well. It's definitely less of a game with the kids, but it's more of an efficient bedikah. Now, which rooms get checked? All the rooms must have that there was a concern that chametz could have been brought in them should be checked. And that also depends on one's household. If one has animals, if one has young children, the amount of rooms that could be included in that is certainly is larger. What if I clean the room already? So one still needs to do bedikah. Even if one cleaned it as one should have, one has a chiyuv, has an obligation to do this bedikah, to check through it. What about chicken coops and barns? So it depends. If one gave grain to one's animals, then one doesn't really need to check because, one, first of all, they could have eaten it all. Number two is even if they didn't eat all of it, there's no necessary assumption that it fermented. But if one gave, let's say, grain products, one gave biscuits, one gave bread to one's animals, and one needs to check those areas as well. It should be noted, the Kitzur points out that one should not be feeding grain to one's animals in areas that are damp to avoid this being a concern for 30 days before Pesach. What about cracks and holes? I need to check that. What about pockets? Pockets need to be checked if one would put comets in those areas, and certainly children's pockets as well. What about rooms which are to be sold? So there's a dispute. Some say, well, look, the sale of the chametz will take place on Erev Yom Tov, and that is the next day. And at this point in time, the chiyuv bedikah, the obligation of checking, still falls upon these rooms, even though they're to be sold. Others are more meikil and say, look, they're going to be sold. Clearly there's chametz there, so you're going to find the chametz you're about to sell, so there's no point in doing the bedikah. That seems to be the more predominant minhag, although the Mishnah Berurah suggests a very interesting idea, which is called a mechiras yud gimel, selling the house one day earlier so that, by the time the bedikas chametz comes into effect, that room is obviated from having a bedikah as well. Some people go through that procedure to avoid the chiyuv bedikah even being chal, even affecting those rooms. Moving to our second concept, and that is the procedure of bedikas chametz. So, is there a bracha on bedikas chametz? The answer is yes. The bracha is Asher kidishon mitzvah tzivano, Hashem commanded us and sanctified us with His commandments, al biur chametz, on ridding one or destroying chametz. Wait a second. That's aren't we just about to do a bedikah? Why is that called destroying chametz? So the answer is because the bedikah itself is part of the process to destroying, and one is about to do the nullification at the end, which is going to be part of that destroying the chametz, at least in one's mind and the way one owns it. So if that's the case, and that it refers also to that bittul at the very end, so when am I allowed to speak? The answer is not really. One's not allowed to speak from the time one says the bracha till one does the bittul at the end, unless it's related to the search. What if I have multiple houses to check? So in that case, one bracha would suffice. And one bracha would suffice going from house to house, obviously without interruption as well. What about this business about putting bread around the house in 10 pieces? So this is a minhag which developed later, where people put out little 10 pieces of bread in order to make sure there's no bracha levatala on saying the bracha of checking for chametz if one's done a really good job cleaning for chametz beforehand. That's all well and fine, but if it turns into that I'm only looking for those 10 pieces, then that's not bedikas chametz, that's just a game. So then it really is a bracha levatala. One needs to put those 10 pieces out to ensure that one is going to find something, but one needs to be checking all the places. That's the point of the bedikas chametz, is to really be checking these places as well. Another eitzah tova, another just a good piece of advice, is make a list of where they are, because sometimes one only finds 9, and that's a real problem. So it's a good idea just to make sure one knows where those pieces are. What about the cereal or bagels that I intend to eat the next morning? What about the chametz I plant, or the chametz that I intend to sell? So those should be placed away in safe places, so they're not going to be part of the bedikah, and one knows that that's there. One obviously is not trying to destroy that. What do I do with the chametz I find in the bedikah? So it needs to be put in a bag and put in a careful place that A, it won't get dispersed. Number two is that one won't forget to burn it the next morning. We now move to the next point, which is bitul chametz, annulling the chametz. So when one finishes finding or checking for chametz, one then does bitul, which is nullification. What does one say? So it's an Aramaic paragraph which goes, kol chamir v'chamir adikah b'shusi. Any leaven which is in my possession, deloy chamisei, that I did not destroy it, or deloy biarte, deloy yadano, lein, I may not have known about it, levatel, v'heve hefke ka'afrit ara, let it be annulled and be like the dust of the earth. What if I don't understand Aramaic so well? Then say it in a language you do understand, because the point of this is to actually nullify it, and therefore it requires understanding. Is it enough to think it? The answer is no, one actually has to say it as well. Don't we do it again in the day again? The answer is yes. After we burn it the next day, there is a slightly different nusach, and that is that which I destroyed or didn't destroy, should be annulled as well. Why do we do it again? So the second one is more inclusive, and it also refers to any chametz that may have come into my possession after last night, or perhaps, let's say, the breakfast which I didn't finish, or things that which I didn't notice. That's the more global nullification happens again in the day. Now, we move to our fourth concept, that's storage rooms. What happens if I have a room which I'm packing up? So like I completely fill this chamber, this closet, this room with storage. I'm putting wood in it, fruit in it. I'm packing it up, and it's a really huge hassle to actually even get into that space unless I unpack it, and that's a lot of work. Do I need to check that when it comes to Erev Pesach? So it depends. If one plans to unpack it before Bedikas Chametz, before the 14th of Nisan, then one obviously has to check it then that night. If one plans to unpack it over Pesach, one needs to unpack it and check it for that there's no chametz there on the night of the 14th, even if it will cost a lot of time and energy. What happens if I only intend to unpack it after Pesach? So it's just like a storage closet. I'm keeping all the wood there. I'm not planning to open it up over Pesach. So it depends. If it was packed 30 days prior to Pesach and beyond, like before then no bedik is required and the bittel is sufficient. So if there might be crumbs that were there, I'll include that in my bittel chametz, because ultimately I packed it a long time ago. I'm not intending to unpack it soon. Then bittel is sufficient. I don't need to go and unpack that basement, but like that closet that's very tightly packed. But if it was packed within 30 days of Pesach, then the obligation of Bedikah does fall upon oneself when one's packing it up, and one should check it that night before one does it as well. And if one forgot, one needs to unpack it and do their Betel Chametz as well. What if it was flour or wheat in storage, and there's a concern that maybe there was dampness and it could have fermented? So if it was done before Pesach, then it's less of an issue, and bittul would help, but a shaila should be asked in such situations. Finally, last concept that we're looking at today is travel and mistakes. So what if I'm traveling away for Pesach? Do I need to do a bedikah? So answer is, if one leaves within 30 days of Pesach, one must do a bedikah the night before one leaves without a bracha. And a cursory check, making sure there's no chametz outside the areas that is being sold, and even being sold, making sure there's nothing untoward. What if one leaves 30 days prior to Pesach and before that? So if one sells the house, then the chi of bedikah falls away and one does not need to do a bedikah chametz. What if food may be brought into the house after I leave? So let's say somebody's staying there, a child, a house help, somebody's staying in the house after I leave before Pesach. So in that case, one would need to get a shliach to have somebody else represent oneself on the night of the 14th to do a bedikas chametz with a bracha in one's house as well. And that shliach can say a bittel, but it's also preferable that the owner does the bittel where they are as well. What about the hotel or rental that I'm going to? So a bedikah and a bittel are required there by the tenant as well with a bracha. What if I find chametz over the first days of Pesach? So it's muktzah, so it must be covered and then burnt right away afterwards on Chol HaMoed. What if I find chametz over Chol HaMoed Pesach? It must be burnt. If I find chametz the last days of Pesach, it must be covered because it's muktzah and burned right after Pesach. Is there a bracha on the burning? The answer is, actually, technically speaking, there is a bracha if it is more than a kazayis, if it is more than an olive volume, then yes, it's a bracha. If not, not. And if it's on Motzi Yom Tov, that means, say, you find on the last days of Pesach and you burn it right afterwards, of course, there's no bracha either. Does it have to be burnt? The answer is, well, burning is one option, but flushing it down the toilet is another. Getting rid of it and destroying it is the name of the game. So this is a little bit of the Bedikas Chametz and some of the applications of this in our day-to-day lives. Have a wonderful